We're in Hebrew. Let's turn to Hebrew 5, chapter 5. We'll do from 11 to chapter 6, verse 12. And my title for this, you guys don't get a program, but I always have a title, a proposition, the scriptures. That's how I was trained. So always have a title. The title for today is, do you want milk or do you want steak? Milk or steak? Very different choices. Very different choices. But basically, that's what the Hebrew writer presented to us. Milk or solid food? Steak definitely is a solid food. Maybe I should say milk or potato. You know, that would be a hard choice. Oh, we're not talking about technically, we're talking about, illustrations. You know, we are all called to be mature in Christ. Maturing means that you grow in Christ, right? From the newborn to a toddler, to children, to teenager, to young adult, and to adults, and then to seniors, citizen. This is the aging or maturing process. Anytime when this natural progression is interrupted, we have a problem. At each stage of our growth, there is a different desire for intake of food. Baby desire milk, right? Steaks? Baby never desires steaks. Baby desire milk. Young adult desire meat and burgers, right? Old people desire oatmeal. This is a physical maturing process. It mimics the spiritual maturity as well. This is what Hebrew is saying. Hebrew writer wants us to go on to maturity because he says, chapter 6, verse 1, let us leave the elementary and go on to maturities, right? So the Hebrew writer's goal is to write so we can go on to maturity, not staying in the same for years and years and years. Actually, you know, you never stay the same. You're either progressing to maturity or you're backsliding into oblivion and become worthless. Later on, he talked about that. And in danger of being cursed and burned. At each stage of our maturing process, our desire for spiritual food changes. Our diet changed from milk to steak as we mature in Christ. Okay, let's read chapter 5, verse 11 to chapter 6, verse 12. Just prior to chapter 5:11 is the passage I read to you about Christ. Learn to obey and therefore make perfect. So there is a maturing for Christ as well. You think, wow, Christ should be born as God man. So he's like that. No. Hebrew writer said he mature. He learned to obey. So that is the background prior to verse 11. Then verse 11 says, we have much to say about this, the things that he just said before. But it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. It means that I'm just wasting my breath talking to you about this. Okay? In fact, though by this time, you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truth of God's words all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, now this is the, remember what I said last week, there's 14 therefore in Hebrew, and this is the number 5. Therefore, now let us statement. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God. Instructions about baptism, the laying out of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And God permitting, we will do so. We will talk about this. But we're not going to continue to repeat to you these truths. Verse 4. It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the power of the coming age, if they fall away, to be brought back to repentance. Because to their loss, they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subject him to public disgrace. Verse 7. Land that drinks in the rain often falling on it, and that produce a crop useful to those for whom it is farmed, receives the blessing of God. But land that produces thorn and thistle is worthless and is in danger of being cursed. In the end, it will be burned. Even though we speak like this, dear friends, we are confident of better things in your case, things that accompany salvations. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. We want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope sure. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we ask from my mouth to your people's heart that you may nourish them with your words. You feed them. Whether that be milk or solid food, we pray for growth as they hear your words. In Jesus' name. Amen. For me, I think the Hebrew writer is talking about, at least in the context of today's world, about two different kind of baby Christians. There is the baby Christians that you constantly have to rehash the spiritual truth to them, the basic knowledge, because later on we'll see what the writer tells them, let's not do this over and over again. He's talking about, you know, repentance. He's talking about faith in God. He's talking about baptism. He's talking about laying of hands, resurrections, eternal judgment. He said, let's not do that over and over again. So there is that group of people who just want to know this, or that you feel that they need to know this, so you're constantly giving them, and they constantly wanting that because they're baby. These are the basic truth, elementary truth, elementary word of God. So these are the Christians that who constantly, you know, circle around that. So that's one group of Christians. And I grew up in that environment. That's evangelical Christians. that who is constantly reviewing, talk about. Nothing wrong with that. But we'll see. What is the Hebrew writer want them to do? Okay, so that's one group, evangelical, I say. And then there's another group that in verse 4, chapter 6, verse 4, about these people who have these spiritual experiences. You know, it says it tastes, it falling away. I mean, they had the word is taste, who have experienced the power coming age. Heavenly gift, taste the heavenly gift. These are the people who are constantly looking for new experiences, spiritual experiences. Maybe they're describing today's charismatic Christians, you know, because they emphasize a lot about the gift of the Spirit. They want to know that. They want to experience that. They want to experience the speaking in tongues. So there's the other group. So you have the evangelical baby, then you have the charismatic baby. And he has something to say about both. So we say, let's take it, the evangelical group. And says these people are milk drinker. The milk drinker cannot learn and appreciate about verse 11. About this, he says, we have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain to you because you're slow to learn, because you are not mature enough to learn that. What is this? Well, this is what he just talked about in verse 7 to 10. He's talking about Jesus Christ. He's talking about suffering. He's talking about obedience to death. He's talking about perfections. And this is the source of salvation. So in other words, this thing is about who Christ is. Him. Who he is. Not just what he has done. Because for baby Christian, he's always thinking about what Christ has done for me. I'm not saying that it's not a good thought. It's a good thought. You think about what Christ has done for you. And then you come to him with gratefulness and a sense of unworthiness. But it doesn't seem like that is the case for this group of Christians. For this group of Christians. Because it says that, the writer says, let's leave the elementary teaching about Christ. And then he tells us about these elementary teaching, repentance, faith in God, baptism, laying on hands, praying, resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. Well, these are really important elementary teaching. So what's wrong with keep repeating that? What's wrong with keep repeating that? Well, keep forgetting? It's possible. Possible. There is a certain sense of security when you get back to the basic truth, the elementary teaching of the Bible. But, chapter 6, verse 1, he says, let us leave. It doesn't mean let us reject. It didn't say that you are to reject those truths or not to put emphasis on these truths. He's talking, will supersede this truth. It just means you got to go beyond. You got to move out from that. You got to move out from that. We're not saying that what the elementary truth is worthless. You know, you got to do something more mystical, like the second group of Christians who looking for this experience, mystical experiences. No, we're not saying that. But I think there is, in a sense, is that when Christ come, when Christ did all these things for you, also there is a demand on you. There is a demand on you. It's not just, okay, great, I know it now. So what's next? what's next? There is a demand on you. You know, when we're talking about maturity, maturing is move beyond the question of saved or unsaved. He's speaking to Christians, assuming that all of you are saved. The questions, it's no longer saved or unsaved. The question for you to consider, the demand on you is maturity. Moving on. Go beyond what you have already know. What you already know. To be transformed. There's a growth. To be remain in Christ. Following God. A wise man once says, you cannot remain the same and go with God. You cannot remain the same and go with God. What this Hebrew writer is telling us is that when you leave, he means you need to transform. You need to go beyond what you are familiar with. You need to change. You need to be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. You need to want to that. You want to eat the solid food, right? It's not that we keep feeding you the milk. It's that you craving for milk rather than the solid food. So this is what he's saying. Leave what you already know. Leave what you already know. Go beyond that to learn obedience. Learn denying self. Learn to pick up your cross and follow Christ. Right? That's the verse from Luke chapter 9:23. God calls you, once you become a Christian, God calls you to follow him. Follow him means that God is moving on. You already been saved. All these elementary truths, the word of God calls you to receive him as your savior. Now, from that point, move on. You know, as a grow up in the evangelical community, we see many of these people who never grow beyond the doctrinal truth of Christianity. As such, their life stays the same. They still live according to the rules and pattern of this world. Their mind never will transform. As such, they can never discern or have the interest to know the will of God. Yeah, they know sin. They know repentance. They know forgiveness. They know judgment. They know resurrections. But it does not make any difference to their lives. And they will always circle back to those truths. They will always circle back to those truths and prove to you that he's saved. He's a Christian. I said, hey man, don't tell me you're Christians. I know that you are Christians. But you are still a babe in Christ. Even though you have known Jesus, you have received him as Savior for years and years and years. Never grown. Okay. So that's the first group of Christians, and this is what he described to, the description is in verse, chapter 5, verse 11 to chapter 6, verse 3. This group of evangelical Christians. And then from verse 4 to verse 6, I worry for this group of Christians, because it seems like the consequences are much more severe. He says, if they fall away, to be brought back to repentance, A lot of people use this verse saying, hey, see, you can lose your salvations. You can lose your salvations. But that is not what this verse is saying. This verse is saying there is a possibility that if you continue on this path, that you will, possible, you may fall away. And the reason I say this is a more charismatic, because the words taste, heavenly gift, share in the Holy Spirit, taste the goodness of the Word of God, the power of coming ages, then falling away. You say, how can this be? If you have the Holy Spirit, I do believe these are genuine experiences for these Christians. They're not some devil, you know, who went into their heart and given this fake experience. I really do believe that they have experiences. Now, how can they fall away? What makes them fall away? What makes them fall away? Oh, I don't know. I mean, I'm not them. I didn't grow up in those community. But I think about possibility. And Jesus talked about this. Jesus talked about this. You know, I think there is excitement to be filled with the Spirit. But if there is no, a firm foundation that buttresses their faith in Jesus Christ, faith in salvations, that experience doesn't last all the time. Your experience with God, this excitement, eventually will fade away by the life's challenges. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do? When the life challenges calls for you to stand firm, when the life challenges calls you to believe in spite of all the negative experiences, what are you going to do? People mocking you of your faith. I think these are the things that challenges experiential-based Christianity. So I won't speculate why they fall away, but it's possible they fall away. Jesus talked about this in Matthew 7. Matthew 7 is part of the Sermon on the Mount. And this is what he says. In verse 15 to 23, he said, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from the thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear fruit, good fruit, is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, I guess that final day, the judgment day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell you plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. These people have really experiences with God. I presume they must drive out demons and do miracles in the name of Jesus, not in the name of devil. So they are there. They have that experiences. But then Jesus says, not everyone will go into the kingdom. Even for those people who have spiritual experiences, like the Hebrews 6 says. And he also talk about the fruit. Now, I constantly ask our disciple class people, or people I come in contact with, what is more desirable, spiritual fruit or spiritual gift? I'll tell you. You go to First Corinthians, spiritual gifts takes front and center stage. Everybody wants to have spiritual gifts, speaking in tongues, doing miracles, prophesying. Spiritual gifts. I don't know why God gave the spiritual gifts. Why God gave it to immature people? I don't know. And they just cause trouble. They just cause trouble. But spiritual fruit, Galatians chapter 5, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, self-control. I missed one. Faithfulness and self-control. These are fruit. And Jesus said, you will know them by these fruit. Not you will know them by their gift that they can speak in tongue. You know them by these gifts. These are fruit. And the fruit is what? John 15:5 says what? I can ask the two people in the back. John 15:5 says what? The fruit comes from what? Come from the vine. And then you have to what? Remain in the vine. Hey. That's where it's possibility that you may fall. Because when the experience is ceased, you don't know Christ. Because you're not attached to him. And maybe there is no spiritual fruit in those people. And he talks about the fruit. We'll see that. We'll see that later on. So, your charismatic Christians have these issues. Are bearing fruit. The first evangelical Christian leave the elementary teaching. Go beyond that. Pursuing following Christ. And then the second group of people says, don't focus on the gift of Spirit, but focus on the fruit of the Spirit, bearing fruit. So lastly, there are better things. Solid food eaters make you mature, make you healthy. And this is in verse 9 to verse 12. He says, even though we speak like this, even though we're scolding you, even though we rebuke you, warning you, dear friends, we are confident of better things in your case, things that accompany salvations. So from verse 9 to verse 12, he's talking about the things that accompany salvations. That goes along with salvation. What is it? First thing, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. So that is what accompany, that's what the maturity means, is that you love God and you love his people and you serve his people. You cannot be a Christian and says, okay, I hate everyone. I cannot get along with anybody. I'd rather be alone than with the difficult church people. It's tempting, though. It's tempting. But you cannot do that. The mature people does not do that. And he says, he said, these people, these mature people, they not only do this, they continually do them. Nothing stops them. They don't get discouraged. And then another thing, verse 12, he says, I want you to be imitators of those people who has faith and patience. You imitate them. Be like them. Get close to them. This comes as maturities. I don't know about you, but my grandson, he's a teenager now. No, not a teenager, but 8 years old. But he loves to play with people who are older than him. He does not like to play with people who are younger than him. Right? I think in the spiritual way is that he's saying that imitate those people who has faith, greater faith than you are, more patience than you are. Get close to them. Get close to them. That will help you and prepare you for growth, maturities. So that is some signs of these maturing process. The immature baby Christians, I see here, dwells on the here and now. You know, the new experiences that they have, they care about much about that. Or the past, the elementary truth that has been preached to them over and over again. They are unable to follow God, or unwilling to follow God with faith and charities. As a mature people, they look to the future because it says the future hope, right? Verse 11, we want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope sure. In other words, the mature people looks to the future and the assurance of that hope, and in the present, seek to love God and serve his people. That's verse 10. That's sign of maturity. That's signs of maturity. Not how much that you know about the Bible. You know, now think about it. There's a lot of seminary students who are immature. I was one of them. Immature. But thank God, he gave us time to grow. Give us time to grow. There's a phrase that says, you are what you eat. Don't really know what that means. But I guess spiritually, I know. You know, if you desire for just spiritual milk, then you will always be a baby. If you desire for steak, that shows me that you are a teenager, young adult, a senior adult. You know, Hebrew is not suggesting that there's some super food that you will make you mature Christian instantly. But he is saying that as a mature Christian, your desire is for the solid food. And for baby Christian, his desire is always milk. And the milk of baby Christian desires are new experience with God, whether he be speaking in tongues and all that stuff, right? All that spiritual gift. Baby Christian are impressed by these signs and wonders. And also the baby Christians love familiarity to play with the same toy, keep the same security blanket. they will not leave it. Venture out to follow God by faith. They will not do that. So as a result, they continue to return to the familiar doctrine for argument, dogmatic in their insistent to doctrinal purities, often become modern-day Pharisees. These are baby Christians, Hebrew writer shows us. And the let us message says, let us leave the elementary teaching, go on to maturity. Desire to know Christ and Him crucified. Desire to be transformed by the renewing of your mind and the heart of obedience to Jesus Christ. That is maturity. Let's go on to maturity. Desire to seek Him first, the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Willing to deny self, pick up your cross, and follow God daily. Desire to receive God's forgiveness and also to forgive others. Praying to God, lead him not into temptations, but deliver him from evil. These are the desires of mature Christians. I think God will grant his desire. And this becomes the solid food for maturity and growth. So let's pray. Lord, we don't know. We cannot boast that I am mature in Christ. But somehow, Lord, I feel that I'm still a baby. There's so many things about following you I'm yet unwilling to do. But Lord, we pray, Lord Jesus, that the truth might change us, that we will know the truth and the truth of maturities, the truth of following Christ will set us free from our mindset of always being a baby, desiring for milk. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you teach us the truth. Make us understand that truth. Make us embrace that truth and following Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.